Red Line.
The unexpected victory of Norbert Hofer in the first round of Austria's presidential election makes the little-known but far-right candidate the leading contender going into next month's runoff vote, consolidating the continent's growing Eurosceptic forces and sending loud echoes all throughout Europe. The second round of voting on the 22nd of May will be the first time since 1945 that neither the socialists nor the conservatives have a shot at gaining the presidency. And while the popularity of his left-leaning Green Party challenger didn't raise many eyebrows, Hofer's rapid rise to national prominence shocked some foreign observers. They contend that the politician is a frontman for the European far right and question why the Austrian people voted for such an anti-immigrant figure, while his supporters say that Hofer is not tied to any scandals and decry the international media's alarmist reaction to what they claim is just his patriotic support of national culture and values. Since the world is still trying to figure out the enigma that is Norbert Hofer, he is our man of the news this week.
Well, the events in Austria are setting shockwaves throughout the whole European Union. European media is already describing them as an earthquake, a tsunami, and shock, and there's good reason for that. And in addition to that, international media is asking the question, who is Mr. Norbert Hofer? Because 1 month ago, I hope all of us would agree, a few people knew this name.
I never heard of the guy.
So this is a newcomer to European and international politics. And this is a person who, in less than 3 weeks, May 22, can become another head of state of Austria. And it seems that he has capitalized, he's built up his reputation and his political career on tough anti-immigrant, anti-EU slogan. This is something. So before we proceed and try to unveil the enigma of Norbert Hofer, I want to say one thing, that all those events which are happening today in Austria make me to recall the events which are dated back to the year 2000, when the same quiet Austria, the citadel of liberal values, has found itself, all of a sudden, has found itself under the sanctions from EU because of Jörg Haider, who was the main maverick politician, enfant terrible of Europe, who first challenged so-called European values long before migrant crisis.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, this definitely is an exciting topic. I think everyone's eager to learn more, and that's what we're discussing. And so I'd like to invite onto our program our in-studio guest, Mr. Sergei Utkin. He's head of the Department of Strategic Assessment at the Center for Situational Analysis with the Russian Academy of Sciences. So what do you think is behind this rise of the right in Austria? As Sergei said, it used to be this liberal bastion and now seems to have surprised the world.
We see that Austrians are preoccupied with this refugee crisis and the outcomes of it. And the popularity of the right-wing forces was growing already for quite some time, even before the eruption of this bigger crisis, because many people don't like when more and more migrants come to their country. They are worried by that probably more than the real facts suggest that they should be. So they exaggerate the scope of the problem and they look for politicians who represent this exaggerated fear. The right-wing forces all over Europe in all countries represent this fear, and Austria is different probably in a way that it's a partly mountainous country. You know, the mountainous countries, they don't look that much in the outer world. They like to keep things as they are at their home. And this is also a country which is very close to the Balkans. And the Balkan route is the principal route for the migrants to get to the European Union. So Austria is also afraid of staying kind of a weak link in this chain of European states, the one that has no resource, no capability to stop the wave of refugees when they stockpile in the Balkans. So that's why. And when we can get back to the elections proper, I would say, you know, first, it's not yet the victory. It's the first round of the elections, and it's still a high chance that basically all the mainstream forces of Austria will support this other candidate, the Green candidate, Mr. Van der Bellen, who is kind of very moderate, nothing really remarkable about him. He was even asked at some point about his campaign, why his campaign was so reserved in a way he did it, like nothing bright, nothing spectacular. And he answered like, well, I'm with this Modus Green party and I never wanted to make it a big show. But now he seems to be the most probable winner of the second round of the elections. But this intermediary victory of Hofer is still important. It's like a step towards bigger popularity of this right-wing party in Austria. It's a step which is very encouraging for other right-wing parties in other countries of Europe. And it's also interesting how this Mr. Hofer reacted on support expressed by other right-wing forces in Europe to his victory. He said that he's not happy about the support coming from Hungarian Jobbik party, which is called by some neo-fascists, and which is especially painful for Austria because this Jobbik party has claimed on part of Austrian territory, and namely the very region where this Norbert Hofer is coming from. That's also interesting that we sometimes see these right-wing forces as kind of international alliance of parties throughout Europe, but they may have issues between themselves that prohibit them to cooperate and make them, on the contrary, adversaries.
Red Line.
Mr. Utkin, you said that this is not yet a victory. I agree with you, but I hope that you will also agree that we see that clear-cut tendency. And probably you've seen this week that Austrian Parliament has endorsed a law, immigration law, which is one of the toughest in Europe. So to me, it's obvious that the pendulum is swimming in this particular direction. But let me ask you, since he's our man in the news, more about Norbert Hofer, who still is an enigma. What sort of politician is he?
First, he's pretty young by Austrian standards. Mm-hmm. So the president of Austria is actually quite symbolic. Most of the decision-making is done in the government. The president can, at certain occasion, just dissolve the government at best. This is about what he can make in real politics. The rest is like representing the country in various solemn events, and that means that this president has to represent all of the society, not just part of it. And both candidates for the second round of the election, they claim that they will be kind of cross-party candidates that will not just stick to a party agenda. He is a long-time functionary of this right-wing party. Uh-huh. He is coming from one of the Austrian regions, not far from the capital, Vienna, but it's mostly agricultural kind of. It's not that okay. Industrially developed.
Okay, but I hope you will agree that Jörg Haider had negative charisma. Can we say that if Norbert Hofer is seen as a sort of a political offspring of Haider, can he also develop similar charisma or not?
I think it's a bit more complicated because he's not the president of this right-wing party.
Yeah.
There is another person who is the president, Hans Christian Strache, who is indeed seen as a heir to Jörg Haider and who is famous for various very controversial statements. And this Norbert Hofer was staying as a deputy president of the party for quite some time. That gave him an ability to hide behind this more controversial personality of the president and to develop an image of a person who is more like moderate, not that controversial as Strache. And that means he's more acceptable for bigger portion of the population of Austria. It's a phenomenon which is probably similar to a certain extent to what Marine Le Pen did to the National Front after Jean-Marie Le Pen. But still, Marine Le Pen is much more vocal, much more controversial than Hofer. Hofer is more like, you know, someone who has experience in business, who did some practical projects on renewable energies. You know, in spite of the fact that the other candidate is from the Green Party, they both like talk about renewable energies and the need to not to be dependent on oil and gas from other countries. That's the kind of more complex environment in which you have this. That's the kind of more complex environment in which you have this election fight developing. It's not only about migration.
Okay, and right now on the line we have with us Mr. Vladimir Mihaev. He is an independent geopolitical analyst and Troika Report host.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Mihaev. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. You know, we're discussing the first round electoral victory of the right-wing candidate in Austria. And I was wondering if you can just put this into a larger context and tell us more about the rising right and, if you will, this trend of outside politicians winning elections and gaining popularity.
Well, you are quite correct to point out that it's a more or less general trend in Europe. The far right, or just the ultra-conservatives, which in some cases would be a more appropriate term to use, like, for instance, in the case of the National Front in France, I think they are gaining momentum and they're gaining more popularity for one of the main reasons, is that the current European Union leadership does not deliver. They have made so many different blunders on so many fronts, meaning from, let's say, mishandling the debt crisis of Greece, mishandling and mismanaging the migration crisis, to which some of the leaders of the European Union have been really, let's say, really instrumental. Against this, and the piling of all the problems, to name one of them is, another one is the problem of real cuts in the social welfare. Europe has stopped becoming, developing its let's say, social infrastructure and social funds. It started to performing its social function to its citizens. And definitely, it creates the feeling of frustration. And this is a widespread feeling that actually encompasses the whole of Europe for the moment. So the emergence of, let's say, outside the mainstream political parties, figures and political groupings is, unfortunately, is the inevitable end result, as I will repeat that, of mishandling so many problems that actually besiege Europe.
Okay, you know, when we're talking about these many, many, many instances of mishandling in Europe, it seems like for the typical Austrian voter, the most important and pressing one is the immigrant crisis. So do you think that the electoral first-round victory of Norbert Hofer is mostly a reaction to that, or do you think that this is something deeper in terms of what the Austrian voters are looking for? I mean, what I'm basically asking is, do you think this this visible, superficial right now shift to the right in Austria, is it a part of a long-term trend, or is it just a short-term reaction? What do you think?
I think it's a sort of a long-term trend. It actually has been a latent trend within the Austrian society for many years. I would say that this is just the legacy of Jörg Haider and his win many years ago. I believe that the Austrians actually, I have some inside knowledge of this very peculiar nation, are very much conservative in all their outlooks and beliefs. It's a very sophisticated nation, in fact, and very much self-centered, and some would say very much self-interest wise. I would put it that way. You know what? For instance, one of the typical traits of the residents of Vienna, how they have been detected, one of their favorite pastime is to look out of the window. And this is something that has been maybe the legacy of their apostasy. What's actually happening outside? Is there anything that actually can threaten my well-being? The Austrians are very sensitive to all any kinds of challenges that they meet. And they have a very strong national character, national identity that they are very firm to protect. So the rise of the ultra-right or whatever I say, or the ultra-conservatives, as one I say, is the most inevitable phenomenon, especially when we're talking about Austria. This is exactly the place for where it would actually gain momentum and where there is a fair chance that the wider society let's say, the wider political class and the society in general might actually support the ultra-conservatives if, and this is very important, if they spell out, articulate a sensible, different agenda in order, once again, to protect the national identity of Austria and to counter all the multitude of challenges that they are facing now, including the migration flow.
Well, I have to say, this has been very fascinating, Mr. Mihaev. Thank you very much. And also thank you for sharing that anecdote about Austrians' favorite pastime, window watching. I think there's a lot of deeper meaning that our listeners can get from that. And I think it does explain in a pretty good way why Mr. Hoffer was, you know, why he won the first round at least. But right now we're all out of time, so I want to thank you for participating, Mr. Mihaev. And we're just going to wrap everything up, Sergey and I here. Sergey, you know, it seems to me like we're still trying to figure out who Norbert Hoffer is. But what I think is just as, if not more important, isn't who he is. It's what he represents and why.
Absolutely. I think we had a really fascinating discussion. I enjoyed every minute of it.
And, me too.
I would put it this way. The meteoric rise of the newcomer who can become a head of Austrian state, to me, comes as another wake-up call for a bureaucracy in Brussels.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating in this very interesting discussion, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Sergey Utkin. He's head of the Department of Strategic Assessment at the Center for Situational Analysis with the Russian Academy of Sciences, and Mr. Vladimir Mihaev, independent geopolitical analyst and Troika Report host. And with this, we end this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergey Strokhan.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.